Well, good morning, friends. My name's Austin. I am one of the pastors here. And this morning, we hope whether this is your like 100th time or whether this is your first time, one of the things that is a deep core conviction of us is to become apprentices of Jesus, to talk about discipleship, and not just talk about discipleship, but become the disciples that Jesus wants and calls us to be. And so when we do that, we learn that we are called to be with him, to become like him, and to do what he does. But one of the things that as we've been talking about discipleship and as we talk about this new series is we want to learn from not only one another, but as we learn from Scripture, those icons and those heroes of the faith that stand out to the people of Israel and whose stories have been collected and passed down from generation to generation. And in the same way, my hope for our church, as we have been in existence for 43 years, my hope and prayer is that the discipleship that we have in this church will be passed on from generation to generation to generation. That we don't just look to the hall of faith that we'll be reading in Hebrews 11, but the lives that I look out here will be the ones who take up the mantle of passing faith from generation to generation. And so we're going to look through the summer series about people who are what we would call not the hall of fame, but the hall of faith, and that comes from Hebrews 11. And we're going to start with the story of a guy named Enoch. And don't worry, you need to sit back, relax, take your shoes off, whatever, because he has all of 3 verses. You're welcome. But one of the things that we're going to talk about this morning is this idea of walking with God. And I don't know about you, but one of the things I looked forward to most as becoming a dad was when my kids turned around 18 months, because I felt like that was the time where you were able to walk hand in hand with your kids. Like, I had a dream. I was like, I cannot wait until they're old enough and to where I can talk to my oldest daughter and say, Ellie, can we walk and get the mail? And just walk hand in hand. You know, maybe it's I watch too many like rom-coms or too many Hallmark movies, but this idea of just walking hand in hand with my daughter, being able to talk about stories, hear, you know, what was fun that she read today, or even today, just this idea of walking hand in hand. And as a father, one of the things that I want to do most is always say yes. Always say yes to walk with my kids hand in hand, to ask how their day was, the highs, the lows, the buffaloes, all the things. And one of the things that we are going to talk about this morning, in order to do that, simply discipleship is choosing presence over perfection. As a father, I am going to choose presence over perfection. And this is what is pleasing to God. So will you join me this morning? We're going to read in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. We're going to start there. And so if you have your Bible in front of you, whether it's physical or digital, I encourage you to look at it, to read it. Remember, this is the living word of our Lord. So this is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And this is what it says. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we all come from different places and spaces. Some of us come from places that are searching and seeking. God, some of us are longing and crying out. God, some of us are sitting and are here with a frustration and an ambivalence towards you. Because you haven't shown up in the places that we need. And in the same place, some of us are rejoicing over who you are and what you've done. And God, you are big enough to be above it and beside it all. So God, we ask that you would send the Holy Spirit, who sees and knows and is with us. Come. We want more of you. So open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our heart to know that you are with us this morning. I ask this in your name. Amen. Friends, as we start this series, one of the things that we really want you to understand is that as we look at these individuals who are what we call hall of faith or icons of faith, I want you to remind you that they are ordinary people. They are ordinary people who are sinful, that have messed up more times than they probably have got it right. And so as we talk through these things, I don't want you to like put yourself up in comparison, because we don't put ourselves up in comparison to anybody else but Jesus. But these are people who are ordinary people that lived extraordinary faith. They were ordinary in that they were, and just like Enoch, and the reason I love starting with Enoch is that he was just an ordinary person that you might have not even heard about him until this morning. And that is okay. Because I heard about him first in when I read Hebrews 11. And it's the reality is that sometimes, instead of starting with Moses or with Abraham or with some of those people that you really know that did incredible things, that struck rocks, that or Noah that took all of the animals on the boat, instead of starting this, we want to start with an ordinary person. An ordinary person that was living extraordinary faith. And this is what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. This is what it looks like to be a disciple, is to be you and me, ordinary, but leaning heavily into faith. Leaning heavily in not what you can do, but what he can do in and through you. This is what it means to live in disciples of Jesus who want to find him and want to follow him, is that we walk not by burning bushes, by fiery furnaces, but we walk daily with Jesus. In Genesis, if you haven't heard about Enoch, this is who Enoch was. It says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more, because God took him away. I want to make the connection for you real quick. It says in Hebrews 11 that Enoch pleased God. And how did he please him? By walking faithfully for 300 years. Man, I hope I can walk 80 years with Jesus. 300 is maybe a little too much. Thank you, Lord, for shortening the lives. But like 80 years, when I look at 300, I was like, if I can just be an ordinary person that pleases God, and all that he requires me is simply to walk with him. Like, I don't know if you've been coming to church or you've been walking with Jesus or you've been deciding if faith in Christ is what you want to commit your life to, because you don't know the standards of which any other person has put you up. Like, maybe it's like, I have to really live this really good life. I have to give 10%. I have to serve. I have to do all these things. And the requirement to please God, strike all those things, is to walk with him. Simply. I don't know whatever like metrics you've been putting up or the church has been putting up before you, but the metrics that we see here in Scripture to please our Heavenly Father is to walk with him daily, is to say yes whenever you wake up that morning, is to say yes to walking with him daily. These are ordinary disciples who have extraordinary faith, and it simply requires you to walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. And I know, like, this moment, like, you might be like, this is so simple, but it's so simple. Sometimes we often overlook it and move past it, because as human beings, we think that the difficult things are where the nuggets are. We think where you gotta mine deep down for the gold and for the diamonds. But Jesus isn't this, like, maze to figure out and to find. He's right there. He's standing right next to you. He's with you. When you wake up and when you go to sleep, when you're at the dinner table, when you're at your workplace, when you're out having fun climbing the mountains, he is there with you. He is there with you. And all that he requires you is to walk with him. And I love it because Micah 6:8, again, all these Old Testaments are saying and repeating, what does daily walk with Jesus look like? Well, Micah says this, he has told you, God has told you, oh man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of his disciples who are finding and following him? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Do you see these things that often we get so tripped up by all the trivial, all the small things, all the things that we think we might have to check off the checklist? But if simply we just rose up to what Jesus required us, to what pleases him, is this simple walk with Jesus. Like what, I just imagine what would it look like if we took all the complications out of faith and just said, when I wake up in the morning, we say one simple thing. God, you get my first 5 minutes, and my first 5 minutes are just to be in your presence. Because you are the most important thing in my existence. That without you, I am nothing. And so I sit. I lay down. I bask in the goodness of a God who would wake me up, not in order that I would fulfill a checklist, fulfill the requirements, but would simply want to be with me. This is what the Lord requires of you. This is what the Lord requires of us. If we are apprentices of Jesus, if we are the Talmudim of Jesus, if we are disciples of Jesus, that we are humbly walking is a confession that says, I don't know what I am doing in this thing called faith. But I know somebody who does, and I want to put myself in proximity to the one who created me and who knows what to do and how to become the person that I want to become. And so I put myself in proximity to learn. And I learn by walking near. One of the most convicting things that I heard is you can't know who you don't walk with. And the conviction for me is when I feel like my growth is stunted or I feel like I'm lacking, the question that I ask myself is, I'm not becoming the disciple that I want to be. And the question I ask myself is, who am I walking with? Who am I walking with? Because who I'm walking with is who I'm becoming. Who I'm waking up with to be with is who I'm becoming like. And who I'm becoming like is I'm going to do what they do. You can't become the person you don't know. If you don't know Jesus, you are not going to become a person of faith who pleases God because you are being a disciple of someone, but it's not Jesus. So what do we do? What is walking? You might be saying like, well, what? It's so simple, but what? Give me some handlebars on what walking with Jesus looks like. Has anybody ever, I mean, it's been the 4th of July. Some of you have been to like camps or family camps. Our denomination just had their family camp, and I know that somebody went down there. But have you ever been to a camp where you've done a three-legged race? Who likes three-legged race? I'm going to judge you right now. Maybe you ain't walking with Jesus, but you were being drugged. Like, cause that's literally like, walking with Jesus isn't a three-legged race. Because you know, maybe you've been that person in three-legged race, and the reason why you don't like them is because you've been tied to somebody that is like, we're gonna do this. We're gonna win. And it's not about having fun. It's about being like, go time. And so they tie you up, and then all of a sudden, you are just being drugged. Like that leg, and you're like falling down. You've seen this. The person or the kid that has been tied up to an adult, or the adult has been tied up to an unwilling participant, and they are just dragging them across the finish line. And the person that's win is like, yeah! And the other person's down there like, oh my gosh! Rug burn! I got grass stains on my new white pants! Like, all these things. Walking with Jesus isn't about grass stains. Isn't about a three-legged race. Walking with Jesus is learning the unforced rhythms of love, grace, and faith. And I want to demonstrate that to you today. So I'm going to invite my daughter Gwen up here. And we like walking together. This week, we were able to go and just walk and have time side by side. And what I wanted to think about is like we're different sizes, right? I mean, you're catching up. I'm pretty short, but my hips are a little bit, you know, higher than yours. My legs are a little bit longer than yours. And if we were gonna have to like do 1 foot together, right? This would be a little hard. But the thing about walking with Jesus is it's not being so much this. It's just walking hand in hand, learning the unforced rhythms of grace, love. And one of the things that I think about, Gwen, if we, like, you love me, right? This is a test. Yes, right? But if you love me, like, we're walking, right? Like this. We're walking, having a good time. We're talking, looking eye to eye, like, oh my gosh, I love you. You're like so sweet. I love being your coach. I love dropping you off at school. I love seeing you do taekwondo because you're so fierce, right? And there's this smile on your face. The unforced rhythms of grace is a hand in hand that are tight, but not firm. To express my care that we are one and that when I'm walking, you're walking. And that there's smiles looking back at each other because our hearts are warmed by being in the presence of one another. The unforced rhythm of love says, I just want to be with you and I never want to let you go. And that you feel my love by being in proximity. But then there's the unforced rhythm of grace. When we get in trouble, we have some hard conversations, don't we? Yeah. And when we have, and we've been talking a lot about walking with God, but one of the things that I think walking with God is not always sometimes literally. When we have conversations that are hard, we look at each other. Yeah? Sometimes the eye contact is hard. We choose our words very carefully. We seek to heal one another and not hurt one another. Sometimes we want to kind of pull away, but we hold each other close. Sometimes walking with each other in grace means that you just need to cuddle up and know that someone loves you, even though you've messed up. I think sometimes the unforced rhythm of grace that should cause us to run into a loving Father often has us pulling our hand away in fear of what the Father might say. But this isn't a forced rhythm. This is an unforced rhythm of grace. One that says, I'd rather be in proximity to you because while I know that I'm healing, the safest place for that healing is with you. That while others might hurt, you heal. The unforced rhythm of grace lets people know that the God will never leave you nor forsake you, will never abandon you, and that the well does never run dry. Some of you think, and I do too, that the unforced rhythm of grace of coming back is showing up, seeking after the Father, and your fear is that he will be missing because you've come back one too many times. But walking with Jesus means when you show up, he's there. Just in the same way he was at the well, and he will always be there. And then there's the unforced rhythm of faith. And when I talk about faith, sometimes it's this one. Like we went this week, where did we go? The things that's not your favorite. It's where we walk up steep places. You don't like going on hikes? We were really gung-ho our first year here. We went on so many hikes. I think we went like 10 weeks in a row on a hike. And our kids were like, no, not one more. And I feel like when we're getting closer to a mountain, there's something like they feel it. They're like, oh my gosh, we're going on a hike. We're going on a hike. We're going on a hike. No, right? And sometimes hikes are hard. Sometimes they're treacherous. Sometimes they're dangerous. Sometimes they're scrapey because they have boo-boos. But faith is the same way. Here, grab up with me. Sometimes the unforced rhythm of faith is not a side-by-side, but a following behind. Because sometimes faith means it needs to take you and lead you where you do not want to go. And the words that the unforced rhythms of faith and the words that come from Jesus is ones of encouragement, of trust. But it's also a firm grasp. Because you need to have a firm grasp to lead where the person who doesn't want to go. If you've ever walked with somebody or walked an animal that doesn't want to go, if you have a light hand, they're gone. But sometimes in places where you are going through the valley, you're going through the wilderness, you're going through the storm, and that you don't want to be side by side with Jesus. And so you trail behind, but he holds your hand a little bit tighter. Because where you're going, you don't want to go. But it is the best place. Thanks, babe. And I want to say one thing about that unforced rhythm of faith. Is that when the disciples encountered the storm on the water, the disciples quickly forget what he said before they got in the water. He said, "Let us go to the other side, for I have ministry to do." He had already proclaimed that he would make it to the other side with his disciples. Yet in the midst of the storm, they had forgot that sometimes the unforced rhythm of faith is the way we forget that God has already said that we will make it to the other side, but the process and the way through is not going to be easy. And so he holds on tight. And church, I want you to see and to hear and to know that these unforced rhythms are a gift to you. They are a gift to you and me, but it's something you can't do alone. It's something you can't do alone. Colossians says this, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." There's two phrases in there. Yes, walk with him, that you've heard of that, but just as you were taught. You can't walk alone. If you've been trying this faith, this discipleship under Jesus, and you've been trying to do it alone, you are missing the key component of the hall of faith, is that faith was taught generation to generation, that to learn the unforced rhythms of grace and love and mercy and forgiveness wasn't something that you just did, but was taught to you as you watched those of the generation that had came before you. That this is why, as a core conviction of us, is that as we find and follow Jesus, we do it together. Together. We do it together, that we looked at the generation that has come before us, the youngers, we look to our parents, parents, we look to the grandparents, and grandparents, we look to the great-grandparents who have taught us what it looks like to walk the unforced rhythms with Jesus. This is what it means to walk with him as you were taught. This is why we believe in the body of Christ. That's why we believe in gathering together in groups as we learn to disciple one another, to teach one another. Here is how I have walked those unforced rhythms, so that you might know and you might be able to be rooted and established in Christ in those unforced rhythms of grace, of love, of faith. So my encouragement, why it's simple, is to simply walk with him. Is to choose presence over perfection. That your walk with Jesus in trying to please him will never be perfect, but it can always be present. You can always choose presence with him. Can you imagine what our lives, our church, our witness would be to our community if we simply chose presence over perfection? That if we created a place where people didn't come and see perfect disciples, but they found present disciples who are walking with Jesus, practicing the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's a practice that causes us in the necessity to slow down. Some of us have ran far past Jesus, and you need to hear him call you, "Come back, son and daughter, because I'm here." Some of us need to slow down to grab the hand of Jesus and to learn the cadence of his steps that are not fast, that are not hurried. They are slow. They are purposeful and they are good. They will get you where you need to go, but it's not going to be on our time or on our expectation, but his alone. Maybe choosing presence over perfection means that you need to grab the hand of Jesus because you are in a need of a place of healing. Maybe it's because you need a place where you need someone to lead you where you do not want to go. That you said, I have taken myself so far. But yet I'm standing here saying, I don't want to go to that deep place. I don't want to go to that place of reconciliation. I don't want to go to that place where I don't know what's going to be next. But you step out on faith, not in your own sight, but the psalm says is that the Lord lights a lamp unto your feet. That the light of Jesus that walks with you is the light for the step after step after step. Maybe you feel alone. And this is, Maybe you feel alone in faith because you have chosen to walk it by yourself and without Jesus. I wonder how many of us, myself included, would be willing to admit that we walk faith and faith by ourselves. But I want to be a person that walks and learns the unforced rhythms, and I want to learn it with you. I want to learn in relationship with you how to love one another as I learn how the Father loves me. I want to learn how to be people who give grace to one another because I've learned from the Father of how He gives grace to me. And I want to learn from one another to have faith like you do as I'm led by the Father. Let us pray. God, this morning, we've asked for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you have been here. You have been speaking. So as we take a breath in, we ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us? What words of life has you been whispering for days, weeks, and months, and years that we have been missing? Holy Spirit, what confession are you calling us to make? Holy Spirit, what word is for us as your sons and daughters, not us as parents, not us as children, not us as students, workers? What word is for us as your children, your beloved, your masterpiece? Holy Spirit, we are yours. Have your way in us. Amen.